If you're quiet enough in the height of the night, you can hear the song of freedom, the stunning song of freedom. It beats in the dreams of the girls and the queens and the men and the boy chicks and in-betweens, while their fears are busy away. The rumble of the moon, it will drown and swoon the ears of yeses and no's.
From KYAQ in Toledo, Oregon, you're listening to Rhonda's Room. I'm Rhonda J. First of all, I want to mention that KYAQ.org 91.7 FM is Lincoln County's only publicly owned and operated FM radio station and is 100% dependent on you, our listeners, to stay on the air. Please show your support if you like what you hear on our 24-hour program schedule by donating generously to our station with either a one-time donation, recurring monthly donations, or underwriting my show, say, for example. Call 541-635-0034 or email us at comments@kyaq.org for details. Want to mention also what Rhonda's Room is all about. Rhonda's Room is all about inspiration, dedication, support, all-around good feelings for my rainbow community, which, of course, is under siege from the present administration and the president, not my president, these days. So as much inspiration and education and support I can give them with fantastic interviews like this one, I will be doing that. So today I'm very fortunate to be interviewing Joan Dempsey, author of This Is How It Begins. So, hi, Joan. Thanks for taking time out from your very busy book tour and agreeing to this interview.
Oh, I'm happy to be here, Rhonda.
So, where are you calling from today?
I am calling from New Gloucester, Maine, which is just north of Portland on the opposite coast from where you are.
And let's see, is that your home base?
It is.
And are you in that lovely, what did you call it, a remodeled chicken coop?
It is fondly called the shed, and yes, I am talking to you from the shed, which is a renovated chicken coop slash tool shed, and it's a fabulous space with a small wood stove and phone and high-speed internet, so it's a terrific office, great place from which to write.
Wow, I'm getting warm feelings already, and I've seen that space on the Facebook, So I can picture it in my mind's eye.
Great.
So, Joan, for my listeners, about 4 months ago, I began my campaign on the radio and social media to focus on a tyranny by a minority in our nation, which is emanating from the present administration. So you can be sure, my listeners, that Joan's book caught my attention, and I read it from cover to cover. I focused on the white racist hate-based version of Christianity that the present administration wants to make the USA's required religion. And I strongly believe that this book should be read by everyone. So,
well, that's great. I love to hear that, Rhonda.
Absolutely. So let me read some of these fabulous quotes that I have dutifully plagiarized from my Facebook readings. To start off, the novel drew me in, and then I couldn't put it down. The only problem for me was the book ended. I wanted these people in my life. I need to know what they're doing now. Another one. Back and forth through time and characters. Inherently, the reader senses it'll meld at the end. First, seemingly disconnected parallels, then... Another one. Thoughtful people who reach opposing conclusions are at the all-too-human center of this gripping novel. A roadmap for our times. And lastly, my favorite quote of all, this is how it begins, the timely model, a novel, pardon me, for free speech, the importance of empathy, and the bitter consequences of long-buried secrets. Joan Dempsey's superb debut carries a chill, a raised hairs on the back of your neck kind of undertone that haunts and lingers long after the novel's final sentence. You know, I could be reading these forever, probably, because there's so many magnificent praises for your work, but I think I'll stop at that. So I'm just going to say, Joan, in your own words, please, please inspire our listeners by telling us what your book is all about. I'm thinking that a lot of people throughout your book tour have heard you do readings, but my listeners may not have been privy to those. So I think if you just tell us in your own words and take as much time as you like, because this is what we're here for.
Certainly. Thank you. And thanks for starting off with all those great quotes. I have to say it's been just a thrill for me to get the book out into the hands of readers and have people responding so incredibly enthusiastically. It's a treat after being by myself writing the book for so long here in the shed. So thanks for starting there. Yeah, so for the listeners to Rhonda's Rainbow Room, my novel, This Is How It Begins, is set in the year 2009 in Western Massachusetts. And it stars an 85-year-old Polish art professor who is a Catholic and a survivor of World War II, where she was a rescuer of Jews. And there are two things that happen for Lidka Zelanka, that's her name, at the outset of the novel. The first thing is that she gets a mysterious visit from somebody who has connections to her past. And she has been holding close a secret for more than 60 years that this person is threatening to uncover. So that's one thing that happens. And the second thing that's more pertinent, I think, for this audience is that her grandson, Tommy, who is a 35-year-old English teacher at a high school, finds himself unexpectedly fired from his teaching position. And the reason that he is given by the administration is that he has allegedly been silencing Christian kids in his classroom. What he quickly discovers is that he is one of about a dozen teachers across the state of Massachusetts who are simultaneously fired, and every one of those teachers is gay. So what's at the heart of the novel is really the political firestorm that arises from this firing, which is the brainchild of another character who is actually a radio host, Rhonda, like you. And his name is Warren Meck. He is a Christian radio host. He's a loving husband and father of three boys. And he is in part behind this firing because he is a Christian parent whose own kids were bullied at school because they were Christian, and he finally took them out of public schools because he found that there wasn't a place for them there. So what I've really done in the novel is it has become an incredibly timely issue because it's really looking at the notion of religious freedom as it conflicts with gay rights. So all of the, I'm sure your listeners are savvy about what's happening in the political world right now around religious freedom bills that they're popping up all over the place and have been for the past couple of years that really are seeking to give license to discriminate, particularly against the LGBTQ, et cetera, population. And even though I started this book 8 years ago, it has become incredibly timely because that is the issue that's at the heart of the novel. I am keenly interested in bigotry and bias in all its forms, and thus the title, This is How It Begins. So I think that's probably a good nutshell for now, and we'll see where we take it from here.
So why was the subject of restricting our freedom so important to you? Where did that feeling arise from as you were writing this book?
Well, you know, I have always had a keen interest in equality. I think really since I was a child, I grew up in a very thoughtful, democratic liberal household. And when I was a kid, there were a lot of books on my father's bookshelf, in particular, dealing with civil rights, for the African American community. So I think it was a sense of justice was instilled in me quite early on. This particular book, really the issues that are at the center of the book arose out of the character. So Lidka Zelanka is the main character. She took over the novel very early on, and I realized that she had a story to tell, and of course her story is rooted in her experience during the Second World War. And even though she is not Jewish herself, her husband is Jewish, and he's actually one of the children that she and her family helped to rescue and hide from the Nazis during the Second World War. So the, you know, the idea of bias and prejudice really is cemented in that history for her. And she is now in a situation where she's seeing a lot of the same things happening around her grandson's sexuality that she, you know, that she experienced herself when she was living in Warsaw. So it really rose out of the character and out of her concerns. And, it, you know, it's just something, again, that I've been concerned with for a long time.
Well, the character of Lutka is very intriguing to me, and you do such a great job in combining that story and then going over to the present day that when I was reading the book, it took me a little while, and I had to reread it to bridge that gap. But then, of course, I understood because of the relationship to Tommy and then her husband, Isaac, and then that mysterious phone call that kept me wanting to know more and more and more. The character of Lutka, and that bringing the Holocaust into it, can you share any insights as to where those thoughts came from? Have there been an interest in your past or in your thoughts about the Holocaust?
Well, certainly. I think it's more broad for me than the Holocaust. I have really, from a very early age, I have been very, very interested in what makes people tick. I don't know. Do you know, Rhonda, the book Harriet the Spy, the kids' book by Louise Fitzhugh?
I know the title. I think I should catch up.
Yeah, there was a movie at some point made of it, but essentially, Harriet the Spy is a tale of a girl who spies on people, and she records her observations in a journal. And the book really is about, you know, her getting caught saying some really honest things about her friends. But the thing that was interesting to me is the idea of observing people and really having this deep desire to understand people who are different. And different from me is what I mean. So when I was a kid, I really embraced that notion, and I wanted to be Harriet. And I lived out in the middle of nowhere in the country, and I would cross through our field to our nearest neighbor. It was really the only neighbor I could get to easily, and I would like sneak up on my belly at the edge of the field and watch this neighbor's house just to see if anything would ever happen. And of course nothing did, because, you know, we lived in the country. People basically came out of the house, got in their car, and went somewhere. But that desire to find out who are these neighbors, who are these folks, was planted in me very early on, and I have been interested in it ever since. So what happens for me, I think the Holocaust, which I studied way back in college and have just had an interest in, among many other things, the Holocaust is such a prime example for thinking about what makes people tick who are different than I am. You know, how could the Holocaust happen? Who are these folks who allowed it to happen? Who are the people who stood by and watched it happen? Who are the people who took action? You know, all of that is fascinating to me, and the thing that was fabulous about this novel is it really gave me a chance to dig into that very, you know, very deeply and learn some of the psychology behind, for instance, those who did take action and either resisted the Nazis or helped to rescue and save Jews who were being persecuted.
Well, thank you very much for that insight. I would like my listeners to know something about when you realized you wanted to be a writer, and how did that come about?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was just thinking about this the other day. I wish that I had realized I wanted to be a writer much earlier. Because really it wasn't until the year 2000, so, you know, not all that long ago, that I discovered that, hey, you know, this is something I think I really want to do. Despite the fact that I've been a lifelong reader, my mother was a librarian growing up, books were highly valued in my household, and I took, you know, various writing workshops here and there, but it really wasn't until the year 2000 that I decided I want to really make my life about this. And what happened at the time is I took a fiction writing workshop at Grub Street Writers in Boston, and I had that magical experience that most fiction writers you talk to will mention. And that magical experience was I began to write during class. It was the first class, and we were given a writing prompt and just told to write whatever came to mind. And what happened is that a character appeared to me on the page, and I had no idea where this character came from or who he was. And I just started to write, and this character came to life. And I still get chills when I think about that, because at the time I realized, wow, it's true. It's true that there is something sort of bigger than just the writer at work here. And certainly that same thing happened to me with Lyubka in This Is How It Begins. There is a magic that happens when writing fiction, when a character decides to take over and really assert him or herself on the page. And that's when the creativity, you know, just really blossoms and is really good fun. So for me, that magic combined with the ability to spend my time thinking about and getting inside the skin of other people who are not like me, was, you know, immediately I just thought, okay, this is what I want to be doing.
That's magical. I love the way you told that. And I'm always trying to inspire, especially my rainbow community, to let out their inner feelings through creativity. To write, to journal, to post safely on Facebook, to come on my radio show. You know, I mean, hey, what could be more inspirational than that?
Mm-hmm.
I was fascinated by the cover of the book. Mm-hmm. Can you just give us a brief synopsis of how that cover came to look like that?
Certainly, and for your listeners who haven't seen it, the cover is kind of a dark bluish green with a, I call her the Orange Woman. It's the silhouette of an older woman with her back to the viewer, and it's almost like flames that are happening in her silhouette. So it's an orange to yellow silhouette. And ghosted in the background in the blue-green area, if you look closely, is an American flag and also some paint blotches. So the designer who created this cover, the company is called Damanza, and they're at damanza.com, I believe, D-A-M-O-N-Z-A. And they just really got it. I provided them information about what the novel is about, who the main character is, and they really embraced it. So the elements of the American flag are there because there is a lot within the novel about freedom of religion and freedom of speech and the founding of our country. The paint splotches are there because Lyubka is an art professor and art figures very heavily in the book. And the sort of orange flames connote both the political firestorm that's going on at the center of the book and also literal fire that is referenced in various places throughout the book. So I couldn't be happier with it. I think it really demonstrates what the book feels and is like.
Wow, that was a lot more than I actually realized when I first saw it. Somehow I thought about The Handmaid's Tale. I think that kind of came from that. But when I announce on Facebook that this interview is going to be played here this Thursday at 12:30 our time, I'm going to make sure that it's combined with one of your Facebook posts that shows the face of that book so people can listen to this and think about that when they're listening to my show coming up.
Super.
What formats is your book available?
It's currently available in both paperback and ebook, and really, you should be able to get it wherever books are sold. And what I'm telling people is encouraging them, if they go to their favorite bookstore and that bookstore doesn't have it, they can easily order it. So, you know, support your indie bookstore. I do have plans to create an audiobook at some point in 2018, but there is currently no audiobook available.
All righty. Whenever you get to doing the audiobook, I have a really good friend who has experience in doing audible books. So
great.
Perhaps we can get her involved in this. So just keep that in mind.
Any referral is welcome.
All right. Thank you. Tell us about your writing classes and workshops.
Sure. I basically teach several online writing classes, and I'm doing that very specifically because I love working with people from all over the world. So I have, you know, I have students who have worked with me either in online classes or one-on-one on their manuscripts from all over the place, which is you know, really, really a treat for me. I am focusing specifically on the process of revision, and I'm trying to work with serious creative writers who want to master the craft of revision. What I found when I began to think about creating online courses is that there are a lot of creative writing courses out there that are terrific, and there are a lot of good courses about how to write fiction. And there aren't all that many that focus specifically on the process of revision. There's a lot of attention right now on cranking out a first draft. In fact, we are in November right now, which is National Novel Writing Month, or NaNoWriMo as it's known, which is folks who try to write 50,000 words within 30 days on a novel. And cranking something out that quickly is fantastic, and then you have to figure out what to do with it from there. So a big part of what I focus on is how do you take the big mess that you have made of the first draft of a novel, which typically is a big mess, you know, what do you do with it from there? So I personally love the process of revision. I like it better than putting words on the page at first. So it's really fun for me to focus on that, and it's really fun for me to help people discover the joys of the revision process. So I love teaching that, and I love seeing people move from, you know, this idea that they hate editing or they hate revision to discovering what a joy it can be and how much it can really improve their writing.
Let me ask you, how can people reach you? Tell me about your website, blog, Facebook, Twitter. I know that you're available on Facebook, but you have a website. What's that, and how can they locate it?
Sure. I have two websites. The one that has the online classes on it is simply joandempsey.com. So it's joandempsey.com. And the online courses are there along with a bunch of other free resources for writers. All the information about the novel is on a separate website, and that website is thisishowitbeginsnovel.com. So thisishowitbeginsnovel.com. On Facebook, I have two Facebook pages. One is Joan Dempsey Author, and the other one is called Joan Dempsey Literary Living. And that's the same as on Twitter. I am also on Twitter at Literary Living.
So if somebody wants to sign up for your courses, I believe there would be a fee attached to that, right?
That's correct. There are several classes that you have to pay for. There is currently a free video series called Revise with Confidence, and people actually can go straight to revisewithconfidence.com and learn about that free video series. The free video series basically is helping people kind of get out of their own way from worrying about whether their writing is really any good or not, and steer them towards figuring out how they can make their writing the best that it can be. Oh. So that, again, is a free video series, revisewithconfidence.com. And at the end of that free video series, I do talk about a paid course by the same name that is, you know, obviously optional for people to sign up for.
Well, I want to get you as much business as possible. So,
well, thank you. Appreciate
I'm
that.
Definitely into that. And I think you, do you have a Twitter? Do you tweet?
I do tweet, and my Twitter handle is at Literary Living.
Probably not at 3 o'clock in the morning, though.
No, definitely not.
Okay. Well, good. We want you to get plenty of sleep. I really have a lot more to talk about, but for the time being, I think we're getting towards the end. I'm interested. I have a feeling this book may be made into a screenplay. I don't know. Do we have thoughts about that, or is that way too preliminary?
It's not preliminary, and I have had thoughts about that. I do have a connection with somebody who works at a production studio in Hollywood, and I have been talking with them. They don't have the bandwidth to produce something, but they've been extremely encouraging at pushing me to try to find somebody who would produce it. They feel very strongly that it could be a terrific TV miniseries. Which, you know, of course, is really hot right now, and I certainly would love that myself. I don't think it would lend itself terribly well to a two-hour film, but I could definitely see it being, you know, kind of a standalone miniseries. So I am actually reaching out to agents, and probably will be reaching out directly to some actors, because the role of Lydka Zelenka, I think, is a primo role for a much older adult actress, and I would love to find somebody who would really embrace that role. I guess those roles are few and far between, so that would be fun. So I'm very seriously pursuing that as a possibility, and you know, these things take enormous amounts of time.
Sure. Well, I understand, and I do realize from my readings and being a huge movie fan that the older actresses, the experienced actresses, do find it harder to get parts, but there are quite a few of them out there. Mm-hmm. If that ever came to a series and you needed somebody to play Warren Meck, mm-hmm. why I see a real connection there. It might be Rhonda Meck, but but there is bullying in my background. I was bullied because I was fat. So I do know something about bullying. So just, you know, keep me in mind.
Okay, yeah, will do.
I could do a tryout over the phone, or I could fly to wherever the auditions are held. Just like keep me in mind there.
Okay.
You know, we're getting towards the end of this experience. I'm having such a heart palpitation, a good one, from talking to you, and I'm so happy to have made this connection. The best of luck, the best of fortune, and I'll be following you every which way that I can, and I'll be taking your book over to two of my favorite bookstores, Fred Meyer, part of the Kroger Foundation, part of the Kroger Corporation. Fred Meyer has everything, including books, and there's always Walmart. I would love to get your book into Walmart. That would be a real challenge for me.
Fabulous. Well, I appreciate you hand walking them over there to talk to somebody. That's what it takes.
Thank you, Joan. Have a great day.
Thank you, Rhonda. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to your listeners and to you.
And I'm so happy we made this connection, and maybe we'll talk again on the radio sometime.
Sounds great.
All right. Take care.
Yep. You as well.
Thank you.
Bye.
So thanks to everybody. This is Rhonda, rounding third and heading for home. Bye-bye.